Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 277 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, it's 2026, of course, an all-new season, an all-new regs change, and Jamie and I are kicking things off today, as you can probably tell by the title of the show, with five drivers that we think are under pressure in 2026. Of course, I've got to do a little bit of admin for this week's episode as well. Of course, we start effectively a new series each year, so if you're watching this on Apple or Spotify or somewhere else, or even through YouTube's podcasting, you might have to add a new playlist to like your watch list and things like that. Otherwise, things get a little bit funky. But before I get into any of that, JB183, first of all, how are we doing, sir?
I'm good, yeah. We're a few days into 2026. It's absolutely freezing where I am, like, to the point of...
It's at absolute zero, is it? It's minus 270 odd.
Yeah, minus 273 degrees Celsius. No, it's minus 5. Yeah, it's not the most fun to get out of bed in the morning at the moment with it being so cold, but we've made it. Slightly late, as usual, as Matt will be able to tell you. But we're here to talk about the 2026 season. And we're not that far away now. Car reveals are like 2 weeks away, or livery reveals at least are 2 weeks away. So.
Yeah, don't let me get on. I mean, I did a rant pre-show with Jamie about just how dumb car reveals are nowadays. With all this private test and then obviously pre-season testing and teams that only do livery reveals and things like that. It's so stupid. So over the next few weeks, we probably are going to play a bit fast and loose because ultimately, no one really knows when stuff's actually going to get released, when we're actually going to see things. Audi, for example, are apparently doing a private test before the private test at Barcelona, so there might end up being leaks from that. But on the other side of things, apparently Aston Martin aren't going to release a car until after the private test, so how they're going to do a private test without a car, nobody really knows. It's so stupid and dumb, but welcome to modern day Formula One.
Honda are doing an engine reveal, which I'm excited
for. Yeah, how does that work? They're just going to show off a new engine.
There'll just be like a black box that you don't see inside, and they'll just turn the engine on, and then you can listen to it, and that'll be it.
Well, it's going to be great fun. I mean, even now, McLaren and Williams still haven't confirmed anything, so I can't wait for Williams
McLaren
to show up.
McLaren are probably still partying, to be honest.
With a car. Probably. Probably. They know it's going to be their last championship for probably the next 5 years or so. I can't wait for me to eat my words now after I've said that. But, I mean, Jamie, did you get up to anything exciting over the new year?
I was up playing a board game until about 4 in the morning.
What board game are you playing till 4 in the morning?
Have you ever played Perudo before? It's not really a board game, to be honest.
Is that like Peruvian Cluedo?
No, it's like... You've got dice in a cup and everyone's got 5 dice and you only know what's in your cup and you shake it about and then you slam it on the table and you've got to guess how many like fives there are, for instance, across the whole board, but you only know what you've got.
And
so,
you were playing this game until 4 a.m.
It's a great game.
I'm going to have to take your word for it.
I also accidentally committed credit card fraud because someone's card is on my Uber account and I paid for an Uber home. And I don't know whose it was, and I can't find out. So, in the comments, if anyone...
credit card?
I don't know. I've checked with other people it could be as well. It's weird. So,
hey?
Yeah. That was my first task of 2026, was commit a crime. So, there we go. Ollie Bearman and Kimi Antonelli did it once when they were at Prema. So, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me.
Fair enough. Yeah, but you're far more likely to go to prison. I can't wait to do this whilst you're in a cell somewhere.
Yeah, new venue.
Yeah. That'd be probably actually not your worst venue to host podcasts from, to be fair.
But, I did it in Wales once, so.
Yeah, there you go. Much worse than prison. I mean, yeah, like we said, we'll obviously, we've got loads of podcasts coming. We've got loads of ideas coming for 2026, haven't we, Jamie? Obviously, from now on, a bit more, I'm going to try and make sure I cross-collab post these on YouTube between kind of either mine or both Jamie and I's main channels and obviously the podcast channel. So if you aren't already subscribed to Knowing Wheel, please make sure you do so on YouTube. Maybe we could get to 2.5K this year, Jamie. Perhaps that's a good goal.
High bar. I like it.
I know. I'm going to go for a big push throughout 2026 with the show as well. But I mean, we've got, like we said, five drivers, although I'm actually going to have to do that in air quotes, because I guess we'll start with the first one then, which immediately we're breaking our rules, and it's not five drivers, it's actually six. We're going to kickstart things, Jamie, with the Cadillac lineup, Bottas and Perez. Now, yeah. Sergio's been making some waves recently, literally in the last couple of days, because he's claimed that had Red Bull not favoured Max, he would have beaten him to a world championship. He's going to have to beat Bottas now, isn't he?
I know. It's big words for someone about to go up against Valtteri Bottas in 2026. Mm. Yeah, mm. I can see why Perez did the interview, because it causes a bit of a stir. He's back on the grid. Also, Red Bull was completely mismanaged at the time, so I there is a point that he's got. But I don't believe he would have been anywhere near Max Verstappen over the course of the season in 2024. Not that it really matters.
Oh, no, sorry. 2020. We were on like 2022, or at least he was.
3 or 2, yeah. Whichever season he was against Max, he was never going to beat him. so, yeah, I don't really want to talk about Sergio Perez, to be honest, because I think he's a bit attention-seeking. And he should have done a Nico Rosberg. And what Rosberg does with Lewis Hamilton is basically just claim that Hamilton's the greatest of all time, because beating him makes him look better. Exactly.
Yeah, fair enough. I thought you were going to say retire when he wins a championship. I was like, when's that opportunity going to come?
Perez won't be capable of that, unfortunately, unless Cadillac really pull up a few trees. But yeah,
well,
I don't
Cadillac are trying to downplay themselves, aren't they? They're saying we're probably going to be right at the very back. We're not going to be able to do anything this year.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me at all, because the Ferrari engine supposedly meant to be quite bad, which is obviously what they've got, and they've got two drivers who are both stopgaps. Is that fair to say? They're both in the mid-30s.
I think that's harsh. I think they've probably got arguably out of free agents, unless you risk it with like a young junior or something, arguably the best lineup they could.
Yeah,
well,
I can see exactly why they've gone for who they've gone for.
Yeah.
Because they're a new team, they need experience. It makes a lot of sense. But it screams Trulli Kovalainen in 2010 for Lotus.
Yes.
Where neither of them were wanted anywhere else. So why not go to a new team? And the reason we've got them on this list, Bottas and Perez, are our first pair of drivers. And we're not saying they're both under pressure, but the rationale is who is likely to lose their seat out of the current grid by the end of the season? And the answer is one of these two. Whichever one does worse,
could.
And I think a lot of it depends on how Colton Herta does in F2. But
completely.
Yeah, I think for me, I think Bottas will win out on this, and that's not just because Sergio Perez has annoyed me in the last week. Because I think Bottas was operating at a pretty good level against Joe and just got very unlucky at Sauber in the last season.
I think there'd been a little bit of loss of motivation as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, but then equally, you know, Perez looks a lot better now in the hindsight of Lawson and Tsunoda having a go at that Red Bull, doesn't he? So
yeah. I think the thing is they've both got good potential to be able to extract, you know, as we've kind of said before, extract 99% out of a car, whereas like a Hamilton or a Verstappen can extract 110%.
Well,
I know it's not knowing maths, but exactly. You know the point I'm trying to make. They can extract a huge amount out of machinery. And obviously both of them have, I guess Perez probably more than Bottas has showcased in his career. Obviously with different teams and different cars. Because obviously Bottas has only raced for three teams at this point in the sport, which is kind of mad to think about.
Yeah.
But both proven, obviously, throughout different regs and things like that, that they can deliver.
Yeah. And they've got different strengths as well. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because I think Bottas is going to win the qualifying battle. I think Perez will do better in the races, but it's whether like the qualifying mattered an awful lot in 2025. So it's whether the race can then make up for that from Perez's point of view. Yeah, I personally think Bottas will win out. But then equally, I think Perez is more likely to be on the grid in 2027, if you get what I mean. So if Perez wins the battle, I think Bottas will go. If Bottas wins the battle, I think they'll keep both of them.
Fair enough. Interesting. Very interesting. And like we said, I guess it kind of depends on what Colton Hurt does in F2, which anybody that watches F2, I would still love to bring back an F2 show on the podcast. It would just be me ranting about Mechachrome for 20 minutes a week. But a big part of it ultimately is that we need, Herter could end up with a terrible Mechachrome engine, which, to be fair, from a political standpoint, would not shock me if the FIA tried to do something cheeky with it to try to, IndyCar bad, F1 good.
I feel like F2 conspiracy theories are overblown, but there we go. We'll chat about that another day.
The fact that we can run so rampant with F2 conspiracy theories shows you how big of a problem it is in the first place, though.
Yes. Yes, but I don't believe anyone is targeted with a bad engine.
Oh, you'd be surprised, Jamie Wanaker. You'd be surprised.
Should we move on?
We can move on.
Next driver, which again depends quite a lot on Formula 2, actually. We've put Esteban Ocon on the list. I know you chatted about this towards the end of the season in 25. Ollie Bearman's trajectory is crazy right now. And
Brit Ferrari.
Ocon, exactly, Brit Ferrari could be on his way to Ferrari for real in 27. But obviously, this isn't about that. This is about Esteban Ocon. Because Ferrari have another junior driver who I think is really good. You think he's a massive fraud, apparently. I forgot his name. Rafael Camara, that's his name. There you go. And he's 20. He dominated F3 against other 20-year-olds /19/18.
Who else is 20 in Formula 3 last?
Mary Boyer is 21.
I don't think Rafael Camara's a bad driver by any I want to make that very clear to begin with. You don't take that many poles in F3 by being bad. My point is, of course, that, a bit like Victor Martins, just a bit too old to be in the series you're in.
I completely disagree.
When you haven't got the money, but still.
So, the F2 grid this season is not that strong, looking at, who we expect to be right up there.
Yeah,
Camara could be right up there, realistically.
Camara, yes.
Camara. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the top three or four in the championship. He may even go and win it, for all we know. If he's won F3 at 20 and won F2 at 21, that puts him in the same bracket as Oscar Piastri, because Piastri made his debut at 22 in F1 in 2023. That's right. Camara could easily be on the grid at Haas next year, and that would be incredible for him because he's a young driver. We don't see, Hamilton made his debut at 23, Piastri made it at 22. Just because the likes of Verstappen, Behrmann, Antonelli are making their debut so young, I think we've lost perspective on being a 21-year-old driver is extremely young still.
Would you argue then that Leo Fornaroli should be in F1?
How old is he?
Because he has just turned 21.
Well, I think he could be, but the problem with Fornaroli is, like I said before, he's got the consistency, but not necessarily all that pace. Whereas I think Kamara's the other way around. Or he's just got both, because Kamara can stick it on pole every week. So, yeah, I think Fornaroli could be on the grid. And you wouldn't be saying he's too old.
No, but he won it at 20.
Yeah. Which is 6 months old, 6 months younger, sorry, than Kamara. It's really not that deep. So, yeah. Anyway, this isn't about, it is about Kamara a bit, but it's more about Esteban Ocon, because
we completely lost topic there, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, he's on fraud watch this year. He's definitely on fraud watch this year, because I think a lot of people were kind of... I mean, I think even we said it at the start of the year. It was like, Behrmann will take a while to get into it, but then he could be a real problem for Ocon by the end of the season.
Yeah.
And of course, he just struggled a little bit early on and obviously became a real problem for Ocon by the end of the season. But on quite a few occasions was thoroughly outclassing Ocon. Now, part of that was down to some upgrades that Haas made as well. Kind of favoured him a bit more over Esteban. But really, I think people kind of remember Abu Dhabi where Ocon did quite well in the end and kind of forgot about the fact that Behrmann, pretty much from the summer break onwards, had him at arm's length more often than not.
Yeah, he did. And Behrmann did finish ahead in the championship, didn't he?
He certainly did.
And he got more qualifying head-to-head. He won the quali head-to-head as well.
He basically won in every single metric, including he somehow beat Ocon in penalty points, which is pretty good going, actually.
True. Behrman did just go rampant at one point and just pick up like 8 in 2 weekends. So
he's just going to crash into people, you know, to make me feel better.
Esteban Ocon needs to at least match Behrman, I think. I think Behrman's probably off to Ferrari anyway, but we'll get onto that in 27. But if Ocon loses to Behrman considerably, they could have an all-new lineup very easily in 2027 at Haas.
This is the thing with Haas, though, isn't it? It's where midfield, and generally French, mainly because of one guy, midfield drivers go to retire. It's just safe, what happens, isn't it?
It's like the retirement home, yeah. Only Hülkenberg has made it out of Haas and driven anywhere
that's
else.
That's still staggering, isn't it? That Hülkenberg is the only driver to drive for Haas and then still have an F1 career afterwards.
Yes.
And really, that was meant to be his final swan song originally, wasn't it?
Kind of, yeah. I do think Behrman will buck that trend and probably drive an F1 after he drives for Haas, but
I hope so.
Yet, so. I think the thing is with Ocon, we chatted about it a little bit towards the end of the season. Since he came back from his little sabbatical in 2019, he's lost to Daniel Ricciardo. Matched-ish Fernando Alonso.
He beat Fernando Alonso, say it as it is.
But he didn't beat in both seasons, did he? He beat in one of them.
He did beat in one of them, yeah.
He's lost to Gasly, and now he's lost to Behrman. And, other than... I would argue the benchmark is getting worse over that time in terms of Ricciardo, Alonso, Gasly, Behrman. Each time, the
driver
quality...
You're saying Ricciardo's better than Alonso?
I think 2020...
That is a big statement.
2020 Ricciardo is better than 2022 Alonso, yes.
Fair enough, yeah.
And I think Ocon just needs to beat somebody, because he hasn't for quite a while now.
That sounds quite bad out of context, Jamie, but I'm with you. Ocon needs to beat somebody.
He does.
Yeah,
he does.
I mean, it's that bizarre thing, isn't it, of Ocon kind of... He's not a bad driver by any stretch of the imagination, but he's still just quite unlikable, which always then, I think, means people are more likely to kind of swing against
him. I don't get
him.
Why he's unlikable, really, but he is.
Oh, he just is, though, isn't he? He's just a bit slimy, a bit kind of...
He's the kind of guy that you have
an incident with your teammate, and you get called in by the team principal, and they go, right, don't do that again. And then the other guy, they go, right, okay, they shake hands, they agree. And the other guy leaves, and he goes, oh, actually, can I just quickly speak to you still?
Yeah.
And then just, like, says 14 different things about what you did in the lunch cafeteria. I don't know,
Sounds like you're just trauma dumping right now, to be honest.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
I don't know. I've got no trauma to dump as such. I just don't know where I'm going with a metaphor anymore. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean, Jamie. Please tell me you know what I mean.
I kind of know what you mean, yeah. He does all the politics very well.
The kind of thing Jamie would do back at secondary school.
Really? I was just...
If you got told off that something wasn't his fault.
I used to try and work my way out of it.
He just openly admitted it.
No, yeah. If I ever got in trouble, or like our group of friends got in trouble, I would just peel off and start
talking.
What
were your group of friends getting in trouble for? Hitting each other with Bibles?
Wow. No, I was the only one. We'll do stories with J183 at some other time, I'm sure.
Definitely,
but yes, I was definitely a word in the ear kind of guy to try and get out of trouble.
Oh, you're so, man. Good heavens.
Yes. We could be seeing a Kamara / somebody else lineup at Haas, though. I think Ocon probably will be on the grid in 27 based on the fact that Haas don't like to change both drivers because it didn't go well for them in 2021. So,
no.
Yeah, but it did go off in 23.
But I guess it kind of depends, so. Like I said, about another driver that we'll talk about in a minute, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And to be fair, everybody knows where we're going with this pretty soon.
Yes.
Do we want to just talk about that driver right now, Jamie?
Yeah, go for it. I'll leave it for you because you're the fanboy, so.
Yeah. I think this is the bizarre thing with Lewis. Obviously, it's Lewis Hamilton, for anybody still in the dark. The bizarre thing is this could either be Hamilton's last season or a huge resurgence, couldn't it? Now we're ditching these ground effect cars. In theory, the new regs, the new floors should steer back into Hamilton's wheelhouse a bit more, in theory. But he's at Ferrari still. And it's so difficult to kind of... But the thing is, on the other hand as well, like if Hamilton wanted to stay in the sport as well after Ferrari, if Ferrari don't want him at the end of this year, he very easily could. Yeah, a seven-time world champion would not struggle to find anywhere on the grid if they wanted to.
No, exactly. He could, if he really wanted to pull a Fernando
Alonso. Go back to McLaren, first one.
Well, he wouldn't. He wouldn't be able to go to McLaren, realistically, would he?
It depends if Lando and Oscar fall out more.
Even if they did, McLaren would not pick up a 41-year-old
driver. Do a straight swap
driver.
With Oscar.
Yeah, I think the teams, he would have to go to the midfield, realistically, unless someone like Aston is suddenly really good. It's hard
Alonso
to say what
would retire and veto Hamilton coming in still.
True, yeah. But, I don't know, I think however much Lewis Hamilton likes these cars, he's still up against one of the best drivers on the grid these days. And I think whatever
especially
cars...
on one lap.
Whatever cars he put him in, I think Leclerc's beating him. I think...
I don't know. Hamilton did show promise on a few occasions this year. There was a stretch of races where he was quicker than Leclerc in qualifying. Two or three times. Not that many. Not
two
a big stretch, I will admit. Yeah. I know. But there was definitely... He got closer to Leclerc in the second half of the season, though. There were a lot of... apart from right at the very end, where he kind of completely fell off the deep end.
Oh, he capitulated,
Ferrari
right,
gave
yeah.
up. But there was kind of a string between sort of... the after the summer break until about round 20 in Mexico... Where more often than not, he was either right with Leclerc, like within a tenth, or edging him out in qualifying. The thing is with Hamilton as well, it is one of those things of, once he's given a car that he can win in again, he does find something extra. It's just whether Ferrari can deliver that car.
He did against George Russell find something extra. I just think Leclerc's better. And I think...
Really? You are happy to say on this podcast right now that Charles Leclerc is better... than seven-time world champion Lewis Hamilton.
Yes. I meant George Russell, but I'll say both.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I rate Leclerc a lot. I think he's probably the second-best driver on the grid.
Interesting.
And I think he's ready to win a championship. It's a bit of a travesty that Norris has won a championship before Leclerc and Russell.
Before Leclerc and Russell, yeah. It's kind of bad, isn't it?
But yeah, I think if Hamilton carries on the form he showed towards the very back end of last season, he won't be on the grid in 27 at Ferrari.
No.
He may be on the grid somewhere else, but the thing you got to remember is in the past, at Mercedes, for instance, or McLaren, if Hamilton was like, I want to stay another year, they would have gone, fine, you're Lewis Hamilton. Ferrari are the only team that would probably say no, because they're
actually... Ferrari are the only team, aren't they, that can kind of make that call over a seven-time, as they did with Schumacher.
As they did with Schumacher, I was going to say, yeah. That he was... a little bit pushed to retirement in 2006. I think it's probably a conversation because he had all his success at Ferrari, whereas Hamilton hasn't. He's not even had a podium at Ferrari yet, so he actually has not
got
much leverage.
He got a sprint win? Come on!
In a disqualified car. Yeah, well done. he has less Ferrari-powered podiums than Nico Hülkenberg, which is my favourite stat of 2025.
Madness. Absolute madness.
Yeah, I think Ollie Bearman... And to be honest, I think Hamilton's gracious enough and self-aware enough that if Bearman is cooking at Haas, he would actually take it quite well. He would be like, you know what, Ollie? Now's your time. Come and get battered by Leclerc as well.
Yeah, exactly. Ferrari can go and ruin another young man's career. Like we said, though, the thing is with Leclerc, of course, you say he's world champion material. There's still that element of doubt, isn't there, about what he'll be able to do under the pressure of a world championship. Because the last time it happened, it fell apart fast.
Yeah. And a lot of that was down to Ferrari. But
some of that was down to Ferrari as well, but Leclerc did not help himself. How on earth that French Grand Prix incident happened, I will never know.
No, neither. But yeah, that was 4 years ago now. So he's probably come a long way since then.
I'm sure he has.
I genuinely going up against Lewis Hamilton has probably helped him quite a lot because he'll be learning stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It is interesting to see kind of what will happen in that dynamic next year. Last two then, Jamie, I think are probably much less controversial and much more likely than the three we've talked about so far. First up, obviously, only driver, well, I guess he wasn't technically full-time last year, although he kind of was, wasn't he? Franco Colapinto needs to be close to Gasly, needs to deliver, especially he was kind of helped by the fact the Alpine was terrible last year because there were kind of less eyes on them. But he needs to deliver, doesn't he?
He does. He does. And here's my little bold prediction for the first podcast 2026. I think Alpine will be quite good this year.
Because... Oh, we said this last year, though, Jamie. No, they were terrible.
But I've got a reason, because they've got a Mercedes power unit. So I think...
Alpine are going to be good this year because they're no longer Renault.
Exactly. So Gasly got 20 points last year, and then the second seat got none. Yep. I think Gasly will be getting on for like 50
over the course of the year,
which is considerably better than what he did this year. So, you know, if a driver's on 50 points, his teammate has to be on at least like 15, 20, realistically. Otherwise, that's a really poor season. So, yeah, I think Colapinto will have to step it up because that Alpine with a Mercedes power unit, if the power unit is so important as everyone's making it out to be, the Alpine second seat is going to become quite attractive. So other drivers looking for a way out will be looking at that Alpine and be like, okay, that's not so bad. And it won't be a situation like in 2024 where everyone was trying to avoid it like the plague.
Yeah, nobody
and ended up with Jack
Doohan.
So, yeah, Colapinto is definitely under pressure. I think Gasly will beat him again. I think Gasly is probably quite happy that he's up against Colapinto again. But we will see. Definitely. Is Gabriele Mini an Alpine junior driver? Have I made that up?
He was. I don't know if he still is, to be completely honest with you.
I know that Red Bull just shook up their junior program, didn't they? Ollie Goethe got dropped.
Yeah, quite a few of them got dropped. They basically cut out a lot of the fat. He's part of the Alpine Academy.
Okay, so still. Yeah, Mini didn't do that well in F2 last year. Well, he did all right for a rookie, but if he does suddenly quite well this year, potentially there's a driver there. Also, Ford Rowley still kicking around. Is Teo Pourchaire his days are done, aren't they? Teo Pourchaire,
I think Teo Pourchaire's given up with that dream. Yeah, actually, you say that though. No one's actually like no racing driver, no self-respecting racing driver has actually ever truly given up on that dream.
Well, exactly.
You get the opportunity to drive a Formula One car, even if you're 36 year old Andre Lotterer, you take it.
Alex Albon would already signed a contract for Formula E, and then Helmut Marko came calling. So
exactly. You never truly give up on that dream.
Exactly. But Franco Colapinto has that dream at the moment, but he's got to do all he can to try and get close to Pierre Gasly is probably the aim. And I think he's got to be mostly within a couple of tenths and, you know, something like a 69.
Go back to the drawing board of last season of the things that Flavio Briatore said he had to do, which he didn't manage any of them. That's what he needs to do this year. It's so
score
simple.
Points. Don't crash. And be fast. That's it. That's being a driver at the end of the day, though, isn't it? So
exactly. Yeah.
Flavio. Really
that's his job.
Developed. That's
for
his
the,
job.
For
exactly.
The second Roy Keane quote of the day.
We'll get him on one day, Roy Keane. the last driver.
Why?
Who, I don't know, why not? Who is one of the drivers who I think could be eyeing up the Alpine seat, to be honest, for 2027, is Liam Lawson at VCARB. And obviously,
yes,
VCARB / Toro Rosso / AlphaTauri, drivers get 3 or 4 years, and that's
which
it.
Seems insane now, because they used to be more ruthless than this. VCARB have gone soft.
They have gone soft. But equally, I think their junior program has dried up a little bit, because they haven't always got the next one coming through at the moment.
Well, I think this is the problem, isn't it? They've kind of... It does stem all the way from the top. Because, of course, the whole point for so long was Red Bull obviously will just fund your junior career if you're delivering. And, of course, everybody's kind of gone, hang on a minute, the worst thing that can happen now is I get to F1, get put alongside Verstappen, get decimated, and then my career's over. Maybe I'm better signing up with someone else.
Yeah, possibly. But then when Verstappen leaves Red Bull, which could be the next... 2 or 3 years.
A couple of years.
There's going to be a seat available for the next big thing. And that, mm-hmm. at that point, you want to be in the Red Bull Junior Academy, but you've almost got to time it well, haven't you? So
yeah, you've kind of got to be good enough to stay, but not too good to keep getting promoted up through the system.
Because Isaac Hadjar is not the driver under pressure, but Isaac Hadjar is in trouble because he's done it a bit too early and now he's against Max. So
yeah, he's jumped the gun on that one.
Yeah, 5-second penalty for jumping to start. But Liam Lawson, who this is about, has already had his chance at Red Bull, obviously, for two races.
Yeah.
There is not a chance he's driving for Red Bull ever again.
Probably
so
not.
What's he doing at V-Cup is you wonder. And all he's doing
he's basically a Lindblad's benchmark, isn't he, this year?
Yes, he is a stay of execution to see how good Arvid Lindblad is. And even if Lindblad is terrible and Lawson pockets him, they just throw the next junior in next year. And then it's like Lawson against the next junior driver, who, you know, Nicholas Olive or someone like that, or... I'm looking at the junior
Alex
drivers
Dunn.
Here.
Alex Dunn. Oh, no, he got sacked by Rebel, didn't he? Because they didn't want him, but still helmet hired him, which was hilarious.
Fionn McLaughlin is another Irishman who is 18 years of age.
What's he doing this year?
He's F3 this year for Red Bull, for High Tech. Wait, no, that was last year. I don't know who he's driving for, but he was F4.
He's just there. He's just in F3.
He's in F3. He was driving for High Tech in British F4
last year. Sorry. Okay.
Yes, so we'll see. But Lawson, if he loses to Lindblad, he's 100% out the door. He's gone. If he beats Lindblad, fine. They might keep it the same for 27.
Yeah, but even depends how close they are, doesn't it?
He's got to be looking for a way
out. He's basically
out.
In exactly the same position as Ocon, isn't he? He has to beat his junior teammate.
Yes.
Otherwise,
yeah, exactly.
They could both be gone.
And Lindblad's 18, so yep. If Lindblad does beat Lawson.
Two, 3 years younger than Rafael Camara, let's not forget.
2 years younger. Yes. I love how you're describing Rafael Camara as too old and he's born in May 2005. That is depressing.
I honestly, the only thing I was happy about, the fact that Lando won the championship over Oscar, is knowing that there isn't a world champion that's younger than us yet. Or, the worst, watching the darts world final, the fact that both of them are younger than us is so painful.
Yeah, but darts isn't a real sport, is it?
Oh, it's great.
I say on a full-on podcast that darts isn't a real sport, so you know.
Yeah, there you go. That'll get some controversy. I mean, to be fair, I can't remember the last F1 driver that had a beer belly. Like, apparently every single darts player.
Exactly.
Did you watch any of it? I saw a bit of it.
I do quite enjoy
it. I got well into it.
Yeah, it's quite fun. There was a guy who looked like Tiamat Marduk, which I probably shouldn't have said, but...
Was there?
The guy who was a rookie who's, like, never played darts before and is suddenly, like, at the World Championships.
I don't know who
I can't remember
you
his
mean.
Name.
Not Josh Rook.
No.
No, not Josh Rook, sorry.
This is such a niche. I'm sure there's not much crossover between Knowing Wheel viewers and darts watchers.
I'm trying to work out who on earth you're thinking of.
I will find it, but we might have to do it after the show.
Josh Rock, sorry, even not Rook, by the way, I'm a moron. Yeah, you're gonna have to find me that one because that's... Oh, I think I know who you're on about. Oh, what's his name again?
Justin
that's
Hood.
Gonna really
Justin Hood.
Justin Hood. Yes. He does. I know what you mean.
Yeah, he looks like Tiamat Marduk. That's the only dark match I watched.
Oh, that's incredible. That's incredible. What a good way to end off the first.
There's the crossover.
The
we found some common ground.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Apparently, Jamie's still watching Ben on the rare occasion he uploads. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie?
No. Do you think your seat is under pressure on this podcast this year?
Not as much as yours.
True. Mine.
I do most of the admin work.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm a bit of a Lewis Hamilton.
I'm gonna hire a younger person to replace you. Someone with more F1 knowledge.
We will see. Let us know in the comments who should be on the podcast. Who am I under pressure from?
Jamie with. Who should we replace Jamie with? That's a great way to kickstart the new year. He's on his final warning. Fantastic. Thank you, though, as always, so much for watching. If you have enjoyed, well, first of all, let us know your thoughts and feelings on the drivers we've picked out. Let me know who you think is going to stay, who might go. Should I stay or should I go? Like we said, next couple of weeks, we're probably going to be all over the show, aren't we, Jamie, with podcasts. There might be quite a few shorter ones, kind of
there
talking about
one,
this, that, and the other.
There might be one from a ski chalet. That'd be fun.
Will there? Haven't you already been skiing?
No, I haven't. I've not for a year. So.
Oh, sorry, not this year.
Not
oh,
in 2026. No.
I've been skiing in 2026. Yeah, come on, give me a break.
Well, not as in last time, it was last February, so yeah.
Oh, so it hasn't even been a year since you last went skiing.
Exactly.
Me.
But there you go.
This is insanity. Absolute insanity. I can't replace you. You're going to have to fund the budget for the show at this rate.
Brilliant.
Oh, this is how Jamie actually goes on holiday. It's revenue from the podcast.
It really isn't. I wouldn't be going anywhere.
A nice weekend away in Blackpool.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, right. Man. That's an end of that. Everyone stopped watching by now. So
I'm sure, yeah, they all tuned out a long time ago. We're just talking to ourselves at this point. Thank you all, as always, so much. Drop a sub, drop a follow, all that good stuff. And Jamie and I will be back with maybe some actual F1 rambles next week, because there wasn't a lot of F1 talk today.